Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Scales of Truth, a sports edition on this anxious Kansas City Chiefs fans' second week of the league. Why am I anxious? Well, the same way I've been anxious for the last two or three seasons because Matt Nagy is the offensive coordinator. Just bear with me. I'm going to talk about that and what a Philadelphia loss does and does not mean. It's more about adjusting the probabilities. So if the Kansas City Chiefs lose after starting against the Chargers in Brazil and losing and looking as bad overall as they've looked in probably five seasons in one particular game, they looked awful. If they lose to the Eagles, who are the better team, we're talking about probabilities here. What does it mean? Does it mean they're done? No, it doesn't mean they're done. We have seen Patrick Mahomes drag a mediocre team to playoffs and or Super Bowl or both. Well, really, has it been every single year? For the last 4 years? It's certainly been 3 years in a row. And win two of them. All those teams were average offensively. And yeah, they had some guys on defense, but it was really just the results of the defense as opposed to just exquisite personnel. So if they lose to Philadelphia today like they really should, then yeah, it's more about what it does to the mindset. Out in the ether, the world is saying, Chiefs are down, Chiefs are done. But in the locker room, they don't necessarily believe that. In the locker room, the last 3 years have been developmental years. 1 year was, okay, our receivers are young and suck. And then the receivers build and are the strength of the team by the end of the year, or one of the strengths of the team. Another year, our defensive backs are very young. And by the end of the year, we've developed them. The Chiefs dynasty, such as it is, miniature dynasty, if you will, if you must, is about the lesson of developing your guys early. Everybody, not the quarterback, not the running back because they lose their legs early. Everybody. We do not have time for you to only be good and a main player once we think we should pay you. We need you to be good in your first or second year or be ready to fill in so that in your second or third year, you're contributing at a high level. I don't mean this room. I don't mean the defensive back room. I don't mean the running back room. I don't mean the quarterback room. I mean everybody. Everybody. You must develop. So if the Chiefs last 3 years were... they were pulling rabbits out of their hat last year. And again, historically, just look at how often Reed wins closely. And you say, well, you could say that strategy, or you could say he's too conservative and he's lost his nerve, or he's never really had much nerve. You know, back in the, obviously, everybody would take him as a quarterback. I mean, as a coach, everybody would take him. However, that's what he does. He makes it too close. But if anything showed you that Patrick Mahomes is the magic man, it's 3 years of having to develop or overcome mediocrity and winning two of the Super Bowls. So we know that inside that building, the culture is to develop over the year. That the team, more so than any other team in the league, although other teams are learning the lesson, Buffalo Bills, for example, more so than any other team in the league, they realize the regular season, yes, it's nice to have a good record, but more we need to develop. And the way week one went, you'd think that wasn't an important game. And you'd think, well, what's going on here? And they still had a shot to win. They looked horrific. The defense looked awful. They've never had a hard time with Herbert like that, ever, let alone just for him running. He's never been a guy who really, gets the gaps and gets runs in. and gouges the Chiefs for important runs. He's always a guy who doesn't. He's a guy who Philip Rivers it against the Chiefs. He's still barely above 500. He's always been a miniature joke in Chiefs fans, among Chiefs fans, as far as, oh, yeah, you know, no, he's the guy. This guy's incredible. Is he? Because he keeps losing to the Chiefs, so if he's incredible, you know, you keep saying every year, but finally week one of this year, he looked like it. And so it looks awful for week one and for Xavier Worthy going down. But what does it mean fully? It means nothing except probability. Probability. If they lose to the Eagles, how do they look? Do they look better than week one? Even if they don't look a lot better than week one, this is not the end Chiefs that you're going to see. It's not. And so it's about probability. The big thing is, does it finally take hold in the building that we no longer believe in this team? Like, really believe and know we're the most resourceful team for the last 6-7 years. We do what we do. We are the most resourceful team. It's not always about personnel, but we've got stars and we've got culture and we come up with big plays. If that starts to be non-belief in the locker room, outside of Patrick Mahomes, this would be a 8-9 win team. With Patrick Mahomes, you still go, well, it's probably 11, but they have to improve. If it's 11 in this division, do they start to believe they cannot win this division anymore? Does the belief stop? Is it that Keanu Reeves, now as good as he is at mastering the Matrix, man, it sure seems like those bullets hurt. It sure seems like Agent Smith is kicking his ass. Do the Chiefs start believing in the Matrix instead of their mastery over it? That's what it's about for the Chiefs. As Travis Kelce goes down in ability, still obviously a great culture guy, still somebody who, he's not as good as he once was, but he's as good once as he ever was for potential big plays. But everybody can see he's not as consistent. He's not that dude. So how do they patch it together until Rashee Rice comes back, who is an all-pro player? He is. And let's go to the other side of that. So do I believe they're going to win today? I'll be honest, I'd be much more surprised if they won than if the Eagles won. And specifically, because to me it's like probabilities and range. If the Chiefs win, it's a 3-point win because that's what effing Andy does. And if the Eagles win, it's up to a 14-point win. And this goes to my second one. Seriously, Kansas City sports commentators, national sports commentators, you've got to get your head out of your ass. Do you know when Patrick Mahomes took over and got 5,000 yards? It was when Bieniemy was back there. Do you know when he went down and down and down and down in production, both as a quarterback and offensively? Do you know? It was when Bieniemy was not there. It was not that he went down when he lost Tyreek. In fact, after that, that very same year, when there's a lack of receivers and a lack of star talent with receivers, all he does, Patrick Mahomes, is go out with Bieniemy and get the most yards from scrimmage ever. And I believe it's still the most yards from scrimmage. And then as soon as Bieniemy goes, because they're saying, surely this guy deserves a head coaching job. As soon as he goes, and I'm hearing the national commentators now, I'm hearing the guys on 610 Sports in Kansas City now. As soon as Bieniemy leaves, Patrick doesn't have anywhere near the season, even though he's got more seasoned receivers. And then after that, he gets worse. And the offense gets worse. And we have to rely on that defense more and more and more. Now, still through Patrick magic, we figure out the culture. We keep Chris Jones on the defensive side. We've got a cultural piece, which is the what you need with players you keep are not just guys with great ability, but guys who absolutely enforce the culture. They make and they enforce the culture. So I'm glad we kept Chris, or we would be toast the last 2 years. I'm really glad we kept Chris. I thought we weren't going to be able to. But let's get to this. National guys. Oh, Andy's been there the whole time. You know, forum people on any of the fan sites for the Chiefs. What do you mean? Andy's the offensive coordinator. Guys, start diagnosing to the extent and granularity you can diagnose. You can say, I don't really understand offense like those guys do. And that's exactly what I'd say. I'm not an offensive coordinator, but I can just do the compare and contrast. And so it's clear that, as you say, it's right in the thing you're saying. Andy's really the offensive coordinator anyway. Well, what you're really then saying is it's a partnership, because there's an offensive coordinator position, and he's not sitting there just singing kumbaya during the game. He's doing something. It's a partnership. And now what we can say is Eric Reid, or Andy Bienemy, if you will, is an offensive coordinator that is easily twice as good as Andy Nagy, or Matt Reid, if you will. Twice as good. If, whether it's a culture thing, whether it's I push back and let's compromise on which plays to call, whether it's a preparation thing, it doesn't matter. I don't need that granularity to understand that it's a relative failure. All right? Once again, Matt Reid or Andy Nagy is not one half the offensive coordinator of Eric Reid or Andy Bienemy. Okay, so here we go. 2018. Who is the offensive coordinator? Eric Bienemy, or if you will, Eric Reid. And so we get 5,097 yards from Patrick. Now, granted, that next year it went down, and I was worried that he was going into his Andy shell, and he was turning Patrick into Alex, and he very much was, but Patrick still has the magic that Alex didn't have. And so Patrick gets 14 games, granted not 16, but only 4,031 yards, 26 touchdowns. He barely halved his touchdowns. And then still Bienemy, we get 4,740 when he plays 15 games in the next year in 2020. And then in 2021, we get 4,839. This is still a Bienemy year. Big year. Again, not far from 5,000. So we've got three different season in four with Bienemy that are within 260 yards of 5,000 yards or are more than 5,000 yards. In 2021, he gets 4,839. So now three out of the four hit that mark. Okay? Then in 2022, Eric's last year, 5,250. Okay, so four out of the five are within 260 yards of 5,000 yards for Eric Reid or Andy Bienemy. And then, if you take out the 4,031, well, you've got an average there right at about 4,800 to 4,900 yards in four seasons. And if you take out the second season, but we can still include it, we've got, out of that 5 years, we're talking about touchdowns of 50, 26, 76, 106, 114, 144, 151, 191, 192 divided by 5 is about 38 touchdowns per year. And then as soon as the culture changes or the play calling changes or the partnership changes, whatever that detail is under the granularity, we don't need to know. In 2023, he throws 27. One more than the lowest he got during the Bienemy years. In 2024, he throws 26, which is tied with the only low number in the Bieniemy years. Remember, besides the 26, which was 14 games, his lowest was 11 more, then 12 more, then 15 more, and then 24 more. Okay, but since then, he's averaged 26 and a half touchdowns. Okay, before he averaged 38. Since then, he's averaged about 4,050 yards in the 5 years of Andy Bieniemy. He averaged, give or take, let's see here, 5,000. All those are about 4,900 and then a 4,000. So give or take, averaging about 4,900 over 4 years is going to get you to, let's see, 5,000 times 4 is 2,000. Rather 20,000, but take off about, take off about 19,500 plus, so 23,000-ish divided by 5 is 23,000 divided by 5. Let me think through this. 23,000 divided by 5 is about, getting that wrong. 23,000 divided by 5. I'm going to drop that math because I just screwed it up somewhere. But I'm going to re-estimate it. We had 4,900-ish over 4 of the years. And then 1/5 of it was 1,000, you know, about 800 yards less. So he's averaging in that 5 years, rather than 4,900, you know, try more like 4,600, probably 4,700. And then Andy Nagy comes in, Matt Reed comes in, and he averages 4,000. So he averages about 700 yards less per year. And that's just in passing. I'm not even sure if that's total yardage. Let me see. So about 700 yards less per year and about 13 touchdowns less per year. So yes, here's the thing. They've been walking a fine line of how the hell do we win with this shit offensive plan? And what really brought it home for me today was I was rewatching, or rather I was watching for the first time, kind of fast forward, the Green Bay game. And that offense flows so easily. And the Chiefs look like every single play is difficult. And have for a year and a half. It looks like, well, geez, can we do something to maybe salvage this drive? And I know it was Washington, but Washington's on the come up. And they're not a bad team. But Green Bay just, it flowed. And I appreciate that top to bottom, especially with Worthy hurt and where she hurt. You know, Green Bay might have better overall personnel. But, you know, Kansas City supposedly has about 3 guys who are really good on the offensive line. An all-world quarterback. And a all-world tight end, granted on the downslide, but you got to say it's somewhat comparable. They're not stars. They're not superstars in Green Bay. And the difference in the offense and how it flows is just night and day difference. So, again, just to conclude, Andy, get rid of Matt. You've got to stop. He's horrible. Whether it's culture, whether it's how he polices you and he partners with you on the individual play calling or the scheme or the preparation, he's not one. You plus Matt are not one half as good of a team as you and Eric Bieniemy. And I'm not saying Bieniemy's the answer, but we already know that's proven. You show another 5-year span where any offensive and head coach coordinator pairing, offensive coordinator and head coach pairing resulted in a better offense, and I will say you're lying, and I would like to see the numbers. Bieniemy's available. He's just like a running back coach now. Bring him back, bro. Or bring in somebody. Because Nagy's awful. The only reason he got is, we look pretty good because Tyreek Hill was pretty good with Alex Smith. Alex Smith absolutely blew the ceiling off of what, I mean, sorry, Tyreek Hill blew the ceiling off of what we thought Alex Smith could do because he felt safe to throw downfield, so he did. And so Alex had a career year by far. And by the way, his career year, I believe, was tied with Patrick's lowest year. It was down in that range, 26 touchdowns or something like that. So when we talk about the Magic Man and what he does, even as his team struggles, that's what we're talking about. And that's why the Chiefs aren't done. I mean, we'll see, especially like, do you keep working until Rashee gets back? Do you keep working until Xavier Worthy gets back? If you do, you have a chance, but it's still just slogging uphill through mud. It's ridiculous. And again, as soon as that belief in that locker room stops, and it's going to be really close if they get slobber-knocked 3 games in a row. Because last week was close because outside of Super Bowls, Patrick makes it close. But if you get slobber-knocked and clearly outclassed 3 games in a row, then where is that belief in that locker room? That said, because I'm a Chiefs fan and I know Patrick's magic, I will go Chiefs by 2 or 1 no more than 3 at home against the Eagles. I honestly don't know how they stop the Eagles. So they better have come up with something that resembles a game plan, which Nagy sucks at. Something that resembles a game plan. And since the running backs, you know, you have to run in order to get into the groove of running. Typically, it's not that you get good averages and or big plays when you abandon the run with a running back going 4 to 5 carries. I'm not a running back guy, and honestly, I think that any passing scheme that tries not to be gentlemanly can get open so often that the NFL passing average could easily be 325 yards a game, but it's not how we do it. And so you need to mix in, if you're going to mix in the run, mix in enough for them to get their juices flowing. I don't know how we stop the Eagles. I honestly don't. I don't know how the Chiefs stop the Eagles, but I believe in Patrick's ability to keep it close. I believe in the defense and the culture right now to keep it close. But I much more believe in an Eagle, I would say a 15 to 21 point loss, even at Arrowhead, for their first really, really disastrous loss in Arrowhead in a while. I believe in that more than I believe in the Chiefs winning by a touchdown, rather 10 points. If the Chiefs win by 10 points and it's not like, a big turnover differential that gave them short fields or, you know, pick sixes or something, then I would be very surprised by a 10-point win. Okay, guys, thanks for listening to the Scales of Truth. I'm Tyson Hurley.